Alright, it's been a long time since I talked about My Hero Academia, guys, but the main reason why I don't review them is, like, for me, I like to review animes, all at once, so I don't have to do it episodically, because that's, like, every week, and sometimes there's gonna be a big gap, because sometimes some episodes don't release on Funimation, when they release it to the West here in a timely manner, so I don't like to do it, every week episodic. So I like to do it when all of it's, back together. So I have an idea for you guys. I'm gonna do something for here for the first time for the podcast. I'm gonna do a little bit of a community event sort of thing. So on Anchor here, I can have an option to do a poll for my Spotify listeners. So I have a plan at which I want to implement. My Hero Academia currently, at the time of this recording, has three feature-length movies. So which movie do you want me to review for you guys first? So here's what I want to do. I will put all three of them into the poll at the end of this podcast, and all that. And then what was the highest, I guess you could say it, the highest votes will be the first movie I review, and then the second one will be the second one, then the third one will be the third one, whoever it is. I'm gonna let you guys know something right now. The third, as also at the time of this recording, the third My Hero Academia movie, which is World Heroes Assemble, is not out yet here in the West yet either, for me to buy it. So if you guys vote for that first, which I don't think is gonna win the poll. I know which one's gonna win the poll, in my honest opinion, but I'm just wanting to let you guys know if it does win the poll, I'll see if I'll put it in the poll, of course. But when it does come out on Blu-ray or on Google Play, iTunes, anything like that, I will buy it and then I will review it then. However, I will put all three of them in there. So what my plan is for it's gonna be like a filler episode for My Hero Academia. Because the seasons take so long for me to review and it takes such a long time, I was thinking leading up to season six, which is leading up towards this year, towards the fall of this year, it's a fall release every year. I'm going to do a My Hero Academia movie review for season six, season seven, season eight, so forth and so on. And if they release another movie, a fourth one specifically, I will. And then I'll review that as well. If they do release a fourth movie, season six has been confirmed, but this is just in case they review the, more seasons if they revive it and all that sort of thing, which most likely they will, because My Hero Academia is very successful right now. So, and it's still got manga to go on, but so that's what I'm gonna do. So pay attention. So not pay attention. I'm sorry. So just check out that poll. I'm gonna put it here at the end of this podcast, and all that sort of thing, and pick which movie you want me to review, and I'm gonna review it for you guys. So I just want to let you know that. So this is gonna be a little bit of a. I just want to update you guys and check, so you guys can check that out. So let's go back to our regularly scheduled programming. Why, hello guys, Dark here. Today I'm going to be reviewing a anime, and you guys already know this. So I am back again with My Hero Academia again, but this time it's gonna be season five, so cue the music.
Got you. 突き上げたランマーが指さす空の彼方、今よりも高い景色が見たいから、満たされないカラカラに乾いた心を燃やして、未来を炙り出せ、幻想を焼き尽くせ。
All right, now let's start with one of my sections is animation art style. I think Nifani animation still looks really well done again. However, I think at certain points though, there's a lot of still images, basically towards the end of the second half of the season. And I didn't like that too much, like at all. It felt, I don't know, it just, I don't like still images in any anime when you could animate it, you know what I mean? It's kind of eh for me. The animation art style, the animation for fighting is still good, but there's some instances where it's kind of, it's just all over the place. It's not consistent. So that's the only, I can't believe I'm saying that, but where I've, say the animation's kind of eh. That's the first time I've ever talked about that, because I like the animation art style of all the seasons, well, up to this point. So it's kind of a hit and a miss for me. Like I said, the fighting is still great, but there's some instances where it looks kind of eh, kind of wonky, and all that sort of thing. So that's the art style. I'm gonna combine these two sections together. So we got sound and music. Once again, the music that's been the same throughout the entire series is here, and it's great, 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 great. The openings were really good, and all that. I think the first one I liked more. The music in the first opening for this season was really well done. The animations were cooler. Now the animations were cool in the second animation as well. If not the second animation, I'm sorry, the second opening, and I thought it was pretty cool. The first opening, like I said, had a great song. The second one, I turned my head to the side, I didn't know what to think of it, but it grew on me. It's again being good. Voice that damn thing was pretty okay. Once again, there is some a little bit of annoying voice acting here and there, but I thought voice acting was just fine. Now let's head into the story of this anime, which I would divide up into two parts. Alright, so I'm going to divide this into two. This is the first half, which is first half of the story of season 5. So the story starts off up to the end of season 4, when Endeavor becomes the number one hero after defeating the Nomu. So Hawks is now going undercover, being in league with the League of Villains, to find out what they are up to figure out what they are planning. The League of Villains has been absent for some time after All for One, was defeated in season 3. Basically, after All Might's defeated him, the League of Villains were kind of off in the shadows, trying to rebuild, trying to find a way to fight back after defeat. All Might be All for One, like kind of redemption. They did make an appearance in season 4, but nothing has been done since, in a way. They've been kind of in the shadows. However, they're coming back into the fold now, and the government wants Hawks to be a spy. What has going on, Midoriya is having weird dreams of the Festiges, even the original wielder, for which was passed down to All for One's brother, which at this time doesn't have a name, but he's the original. He is the original or first wielder of One for All. And in the middle of his sleep, One for All basically goes berserk. And Midoriya is trying to figure out what's going on with One for All. So I think the Deku Midoriya with the One for All was pretty interesting. Pretty interesting stuff. Now we're going to go to, which leads on to the arc of Class A versus Class B. It's kind of like what the Fall Sports Festival was, if you recall my review from season two, I thought that was really entertaining. There's one-on-one battles, but this time they're dividing up into teams. Excuse me. To see how they fare up and see how they improved. Which introduces Shinso, which, if you guys remember Shinso, there's a lot of callbacks to season two for the sports festival. He's thinking about joining the Hero Corps, and he's there joining on two teams, one for Class A and then one for Class B, where he's going to show how he improved and how he can be enrolled into the Hero Corps. And it gave a little bit of interest so here, and he has the time to shine here, and it's really, really cool. Here's a nice highlight through this arc, and basically it's, which is kind of the sense of it. Now, all these have different rivalries, of course, from the sports festival and all that. I think I like this arc, I really do. But I think I like the one-on-one battles better in season two for me. Because it felt more tension. And now, is there some good fights in here? Absolutely. Has everybody improved? Yes. In both classes, yes. But I don't think it's not as impactful as one-on-ones. Which I like the sports festival for, by the way. I really like the one-on-one battles. But anyway, now let's talk about the main meat of what's going on with this arc. In the middle of the fifth and final battle to determine class domination, One for All goes uncontrollable in the battle, and Midoriya could not handle the quirk at all, which was causing all kinds of damage. But Shinso was able to calm him down. But Deku was having a dream of sorts where one of the wielders of the quirk that's going berserk is Black Whip. Told him that the quirk reacts to how he reacts. So if he is angry, Black Whip won't act right. But if he has a good heart and reacts to a positive manner, then Black Whip will work. So Deku does get control with it and all that. But the Vest has said that there are six other quirks they have to master because of these six other wielders. Because there's a total of seven wielders plus him right now. So there's eight wielders of One for All. So this has a little bit more story than One for All, which leads to All for One and that sort of thing. I want to talk about that a little bit later. But Deku has to master it, kind of, which makes the story unpredictable, because the next quirk may be something completely different. Which the next one, which may be mastered, which All Might thinks one might be towards the end of the season, is Float, which was his master's quirk, who basically allowed her to float and fly. So that's what Deku has to work with now, which might be leads to some funny moments. Midoriya trying to learn how to float. That's going to be pretty good. So, I think the fights between classes A and B were fun to watch. And all that. Is it better than a sports festival? No. But it's still fun to watch. I'm not saying it's horrible. I just think it's not as good as the sports festival, to be honest. If I'm making a lot of comparisons, season two, so was the dang show. They were comparing sports festival all the time. So if they're gonna do it, I'm gonna do it. But also in the season, Endeavor's brought up quite a lot, which makes sense because he actually did something monumental in season four towards the end. Actually, at the end of season four, so they were gonna go a lot more into Endeavor. But their storyline. The Endeavor storyline to the first half, and for a second half for the matter, is him trying to atone for the things he did to his family, him trying to tackle being the number one hero, and also trying to get his family back together. Before I get to the second half of the story, I will say this Endeavor storyline is awesome. I can feel that Endeavor really regrets what he has done for his family and wants to find a way to redeem himself. And to me, this is the second highlight of the season. One for All kind of messing up, getting the mythos of One for All. Knowing that All for One gave it to his brother, and all that sort of thing. You get a little bit more of the mythos of the One for All, the Endeavor storyline. That's the second highlight, and then I'll go talk about the third highlight here in a little while. But after this is great, I'll talk about more about that here in a little bit. Two more things to bring up for the first half of the season, and this is going to be. Shigaraki basically not destroyed Deku City, but basically did a lot of damage to Deku City. And one of the news outlets, which we're just putting the government on high alert, which will come into play in the second half. I'll bring that up a little bit as well. Then we got, I'm going to end this on a bright note, Eri. So, basically what's going on with this is with her. She's trying to find a way to control her quirk. Because she's still having trouble controlling it. If you can recall, she has a quirk that reverses time with a horn on her head. But she's young and she hasn't found a way to control it yet. But they had a Christmas episode. They're having fun with everybody and her confusing the holidays. So, for example, she came in there dressed up like a little Santa. And she was saying, in sickness and in health. I said, no, and Aizawa said, no, you got it wrong. No, that's not it. And then she gave Uraraka a set of, like, painted eggs, which is Easter. And I don't know, man. I think it's absolutely adorable and precious. She doesn't know what's going on. She's so confused, but she has the spirit of it, though. I'd said this at the end of season 4, and I mentioned it with Wendy. You know, Aerie's way younger than Wendy is, so I'm gonna have to tell you guys. We had to defend Aerie at all costs. Because she's so adorable and so precious. She's so confused, but she had a lot of fun. Granted, she did not know what was going on, poor kid. But it was a great way to end the first half. Now, the only part I didn't care for was the Christmas music that I was playing and the still images montage, and I thought it was horrendous music. But Aerie was a great bright spot for the end of the first half of season 1. I thought it was absolutely adorable, and I really liked it. It was nice. So now, let's go to the second half of the season, in terms of story. Alright, the second half of the season, there's some things I brought up. So, mostly focus on three heroes, then I may talk about a storyline with Uraraka and Asui later. Which actually I would do later. The second half of the story is Deku, Midoriya, Todoroki, Shoto Todoroki, and Bakugo is joining Endeavor's agency to do work studies. Okay, they're bringing back work studies again. The main reason why they're doing that is which is an answer from the government to add more heroes to help fight against Shigaraki and all that. Even if they are high school students. Which also brings up Midoriya and Bakugo to Todoroki's family stuff going on right now. And Hawks is playing a spy. He found out that there's a liberation front. A group of villains who believe that quirks are right and want to liberate the world and freedom. They have 100,000 people at their command. With all of them having some sort of quirk. Which is absolutely insane. But there's a story arc with Aizawa and Mike, though. They went into some more information about the Nomu. Do you guys remember the Dark Hole member of the League of Villains who could spawn random dark holes? Or black holes, I have to say. Not dark holes, black holes. Well, he's under police custody, kind of like All for One is right now. And they may think that he may have the body of Mike and Aizawa's friend from school. Mike and Aizawa tried to snap him out of it. But they just couldn't do it. So this goes a little bit more into Namus and what they are, just slightly. That's cool, adding more substance to the Namu. Some of them have personalities, some of them do not. So the storyline here is basically that the doctor who's making the Namus, who helps Shigaraki, he is the one that takes their bodies and just makes them to his Namu to defend Shigaraki, so Shigaraki can become the successor to All for One. All that sort of thing. So the doctor is in the season, which is an evil, evil bastard. So there we go. Now let's see here. I'm trying to get my turn. Okay, the Endeavor storyline continues where Todoroki's sister, Fiomi, had invited Midoriya and Bakugo, of all people. I've learned this. I said this when I was watching this. This is why we don't invite Bakugo on social outings. I thought that was pretty funny. To a family dinner, where it led to a lot of tension between family members. Minatuma and Tetsu, one of Shoto's brothers, is so upset. One of the reasons is from their older brother, Toya, where Endeavor murdered him, supposedly. I got a theory about that, which I'll bring up here in a little bit. Murdered him, supposedly. Here's the thing that is what's told here. However, I do have a theory on what happened. I think Dobby is Todoroki's older brother. Once Todoroki turned into a villain, this episode goes on to say that something happened which resulted in that brother burning his entire face and body. Well, Dobby is the same way, and also, so Dobby has blue fire, which is hottest of all fires, and Todoroki and Endeavor have a fire quirk. So that's my theory. I haven't done a backstory on Dobby yet. So this is what I think, and this is what I think, and this is before I even read the manga. So this is just a guess on my part. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If I'm right, I'm right. But it makes sense. Then it talked about a little bit of Toya and what happened to him. I said, wait, that's similar to Dobby. Dobby's all his whole body's freaking stitched together. So yeah, I'm thinking Dobby is the older brother of Todoroki, and he turned from a Todoroki, from Endeavor, the number one hero now, to a freaking villain. But the episode Deku tells the Todoroki family that you at some point feel like you're waiting to forgive your dad, but you haven't found a reason for it yet. Meanwhile, after after the dinner, Endeavor was taking Deku and Bakugo back to the school for the night when a villain kidnaps Tetsu and attempts to lure Endeavor to murder him so he can find happiness in his life. Yeah, this guy was crying. He said, "Murder me, murder me." He said, "Okay." And Endeavor sent him to prison for 6 months, and this guy was a freaking nutcase. Yeah, but they had an awesome moment. There's a little bit of atonement from Endeavor from Shoto and Tetsu, which was awesome. All right, so the Endeavor storyline, I like the way they did Endeavor here. They're trying to find a way to get him to redeem himself, which is fantastic. Now to the third highlight of the season. Well, for one character specifically. Now we go on the next part, which is they call it My Hero Academia, but it's called My Villain Academia. This basically shows the League of Villains and what happened to them, which led to Deku City being damaged. But in actuality, this story is how the League of Villains ended up getting an army of 100,000 people on their side, and Shigaraki becoming the successor to All for One. The storyline was pretty cool to watch the show into perspective of the villains and all that. They did have some sad stories for Toga, Twice, all that sort of thing. But the biggest highlight here, two episodes for Shigaraki himself. Two episodes. So now we're going to talk about the story of Tenko Shimura, which was Shigaraki's original name when he was a child. He hasn't discovered his quirk yet, and his father was really too tough on him and his family, and he got shamed, basically. But Shigaraki discovered his quirk, okay, and he accidentally kills his dog in a bloody pool of blood and guts. Yeah, and he accidentally kills his sister because of his decay quirk. Holy cow, that was really, really dark. I didn't expect him to kill his dog and kill his whole family. Yes, he did say he'd bring up his family with those hands, but we actually seeing it on screen, it's like, oh my god. That was crazy. And then the second origin story, when Shigaraki met All for One, which changed his name from Tenko Shimura to Tomso Shigaraki. Tomusa Shigaraki, there we go. Basically, All for One basically adopted him, which is cool, too. This is where he gets to the army of 100,000 people after beating. This is where kind of a weak spot. The Liberation Front, I don't even remember half their names. I forgot his name. I'm a bad reviewer. I forgot the guy's name, which Shigaraki defeated to get the army. But My Villain Academia was really cool. Shigaraki being the villain he was supposed to be. And we knew that Shigaraki had it in him. Yeah, anyway, we were talking about Shigaraki, and we knew that he was going to be the main villain. They were leading up to it. And this was a big spot for his character, a big upward spot, upward thing for him, making Shigaraki a legitimate threat. Now, I thought he was a threat originally, but right now, he is now an even bigger threat, because now he has an army. He's the leader of an army of 100,000 people. He's basically a leader of a freaking empire right now, and he's gonna basically destroy everything that he can and get revenge on what All Might did to All For One. That just led to him, number one, getting wounded, number two, getting him arrested. So, which is appreciated, and a great backstory for him, standing up in a big way. There's now the doctor. The doctor was introduced, which was experimenting on Shigaraki, which was later on the second to last episode. There's the doctor's doing experiments on Shigaraki, which made him even more powerful. But at the same time, it goes into a little bit about the quirks, a little bit on them. But in the last episode, Shigaraki was told if he is alive, their spirit, he can inherit one for all. Yeah, that isn't that something? The one of the quirks that All For One could not control. So basically, if everything goes to plan here, so basically we're heading to war, folks. We're going straight on to a war. We're having a first time in the history of My Hero Academia so far in the anime is we're going to have war. We're going to have full-on war here. It's going to be really freaking cool. All right. Now to conclude. Alright, so to conclude, my conclusion with Season 5, I thought the Midoriya stuff with Frog was cool and compelling. But towards the end of the season, Midoriya has way better control over it, so I guess it may play a part in Season 6. I guess the Endeavor storyline was awesome, and Shigaraki's origin stories with him as a child, and now with him being the leader of his big 100,000 Empire army is awesome too. He's finally standing up to become the villain we all know he can be. But other than that, I thought the season was good, but it isn't as good as Season 4 or 3. I, if you guys remember from Season 4, I thought Season 4 was a great, great season. Season 3, I keep saying, is one of the best seasons My Hero Academia's ever had, Season 3. But Season 4, I thought was a good successor. Was it as good as Season 3? No. It's in a high bar for yourself, but I thought Season 3 and Season 4 was like the peak of the anime, and all that sort of thing, along with one of the movies, which I'll put in the poll here in a little bit, which I thought was right at the peak. Now, let's see here. But Season 5 doesn't feel as good as past seasons. It felt like a big, I guess, filler or hype-up season for Season 6, because of all that was going on with Shigaraki. So Season 5, to me, currently, is the season that is a disappointment, considering how I love Season 4 so much. I saw the trailer for Season 6. Let me tell you, it is hyping me up. And reading the comments, not spoiler, of course, of manga readers are saying Season 6 and Season 7 will be awesome arc. Like Infinity War type of level. If that's the case, then My Hero Academia will be freaking awesome. Alright, if it's as good as people saying it is, with this war arc, and it's like Infinity War Endgame, then I'm all for it. So I'm actually looking forward to Season 6 now, you guys. So, and all that. So that's my Season 5 review. I thought it was a disappointment. However, my next review will be in a couple weeks, you guys. What will it be? I actually wouldn't need to look into that myself, but the next review will be in a couple weeks in March. And keep your eyes peeled. Also, check out the poll for you guys that I will post for you guys, all right? And I will see you guys in a couple of weeks.